Anyone crazy about Jesus this morning? Amen. You can have a seat for just a minute. Hey, it's good to be back at New Life Church. As a young boy, I told you, Pastor, as a young boy, I grew up in a church in New Zealand called New Life Church. How crazy is that, huh? My dad was the assistant pastor, then he went on to become pastor, but what a special privilege it is. You know, you just never know, you never know where God takes you. When we say yes to him, you never know where he leads you. And so this year, we're celebrating 25 years full-time in the ministry in over 40 countries of the world. And that's pretty special, believing God, trusting God. And to celebrate that, we've written a book. Everyone say, book, look at this. It's a book. This book is called The Ecosystem of Heaven on Earth, A Kingdom Within. So after 25 years, what we've discovered is this, is that God has created a kingdom with its own ecosystem to sustain his people in a fallen planet. We live in a fallen world, and you never know what's going to happen next. But within the kingdom of this world, there's another kingdom. Are you with me today? And that kingdom sustains us. No matter what God calls us to do, no matter what our assignment is, we all have an assignment. We all have something that God wants us to accomplish. God, our Father in heaven, has chosen us to be his house. Do you believe that today? We are his house. And he wants to move through all of us to touch our world around us. I want us to watch a little video clip. It just gives us a bit of a snippet of what we've been up to in these last 25 years. Actually, for longer than that.
people like Melvin, all these people today, leaders in the house of God, but first time in a Red Rain Michael Turner concert. And literally, he has impacted thousands of souls, got them saved through Heart of God Church, in our church. So it's incredible to say that this man has an impact on our church is an understatement.
Is that good, family? Is that amazing? So, countries, listen to this. Countries, it's in the book. Countries, we've got Australia, Albania, Austria, Belgium, Bosnia, Bulgaria, Canada, China, Croatia, Estonia, Fiji, France, Germany, Greece, Hong Kong, Hungary, India, Ireland, Israel, Italy, Kenya, Kuwait, Latvia, Lesotho, Lithuania, Malaysia, Monaco, Montenegro, Netherlands, New Zealand, North Macedonia, Pakistan, Poland, Serbia, Singapore, South Africa, Switzerland, Turkey, Ukraine, United Arab Emirates, England, Ireland, Scotland, and the USA. Not bad, right? How does a little hobbit from New Zealand do all that? Right? That's why we wrote a book, because the Holy Spirit convicted our hearts and he said that you need to put into pen into paper how I've moved in your life, so that when you pass on, all of us pass on, someone gets to read the story and gets to believe, because all of us have got a story to tell. Every one of us has a story to tell of what God is doing and done in our lives. And so the message that I want to share with everybody here today is an introduction to this book, The Ecosystem of Heaven on Earth, The Kingdom Within. The message is called A Kingdom Within. Say, A Kingdom Within. Turn with me, if you would, to Luke chapter 17. Luke chapter 17 and verse 20. And it says, now, when he was asked of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, he answered and said, the kingdom of God does not come with observation. Neither shall they say, lo here or lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you. Say, the kingdom of God is within me. How on earth does a 16-year-old surfer boy from Tauranga, New Zealand, get to go all over the globe? How does it get from Tauranga, the sleepy beach town in the Pacific, way down near Antarctica, how does he get from there to travel constantly in his life all over the globe? How does he end up in Hollywood with some crazy Hollywood producers who love to talk things up? How does he end up in Pakistan with thousands of Muslim people? How does he end up on the front lines in Ukraine bringing aid to people who have been disposed from their homes? This year we're celebrating 25 years of this type of ministry. It's our life's calling, our purpose, and we discovered an ecosystem, a kingdom within. The revelation of this kingdom has helped to sustain us, help keep us throughout the many moments in this journey. I never thought of myself as a smuggler, but the opportunity to take Bibles into China was just too good to pass up. The opportunity to carry Bibles into a land where the Christian faith was under such heavy persecution, it gripped my heart. At age 17, I'm on my way to China. It was here as a teenager I first encountered this possibility of a kingdom within. It was dark and gloomy on the boat trip to Canton, China. My body was filled with so many Bibles, I found it hard to keep my pants from falling down. The next day, thankfully, we made it through customs alive and we managed to get all our Bibles through briskly. I made my way down a side street and offloaded our luggage. Then, boom, face to face, I came in contact with the most beautiful, humble faces I've ever seen. Looking into the eyes of these precious Chinese people, I saw such peace and joy. These were our brothers and sisters from the underground church. Under such persecution, and yet they were happy. I could see they were happy. Under such persecution, these people had joy and peace in their hearts. I was stunned. I was speechless. You could say I was overwhelmed. And it was during this encounter that the seeds of this kingdom we're talking about today were sown in my heart. I was 17 years of age. But the full impact, however, would not be felt until 2 years later in an incredibly beautiful country called India. When Pastor Nancy Dykes invited me to go to India, something dropped in my heart. I mean, the trip to China 18 months earlier had whet my appetite for missions. This felt like it was the next step for me. I arrived into India and it was absolute mayhem. Horns beeping, people yelling. Chennai Airport was like a scene from an Indiana Jones movie. Have you ever seen those scenes? We jumped into our van and all of a sudden we were introduced to the controlled chaos of Indian driving and the roading system that has become world famous. Imagine a pride of lions all converging on the same piece of meat. A two-lane road and everyone is trying to make it first to the stoplight. It looked like a wildebeest migration on rampage in Africa. In the distance, a huge truck came straight at me. I remember closing my eyes and hoping that we would bypass collision and avoid what I thought was going to happen. Then jammed in the middle of all of this as I'm peeking out the window, a family of five is riding on the same bicycle and they managed to squeeze through. It was unbelievable. And this is what they call the incredible India. Has anybody experienced it? Because I absolutely love it. I know you've experienced it. We made our way in one piece to the house that we would stay for the next few days. And as you can expect, I'm needing to go to the bathroom. And so I asked our host, can you please lead me to where the bathroom is? He says, it's over there. So I walked to the bathroom. I opened the door, and as I opened the door, the largest herd of cockroaches I have ever seen scuttled in front of me. I jumped out of the way, and I ran back to my host, and I said to me, sir, is there not another space, a location, where you are free from these little insects? I don't like cockroaches. He says, listen, sir. He said, I'm here to tell you something. I am here. Very, very, thank you very, very much for coming. But I am here to tell you, sir. The problem is, you see, you never knocked on the door. See? See, this is it. We are in India. The young man, we are in India now. There's a way we do things here. So he says, the way that you... He's like this, headband like this. And he's happy and smiling. And I'm like, not smiling. I'm like, help me, please, somebody. And he says, all you had to do, what you had to do, sir, you just knock on the door and they will leave you, okay? And it's like... Why didn't I think of that? Knock on the door. So I walk. I'm like this. And I walk slowly and I knock on the door. I pause and then I open the door. No cockroaches. So, and I run down. Sit down, close the door. The cockroaches had gone from the door, from the floor to the door. There's so many cockroaches, I can't see the color of the door. I jump up, I run out. I cannot remember what happened next, but all I can tell you is this was a freaky moment in my life, and it wasn't such an incredible India that I was experiencing right then. Upon arriving into India, one of the responsibilities I had was to lead worship during the events. We did outreaches all over India, and as expected, we saw incredible things. Sick have been healed, souls have been saved, the demons have been cast out. We're seeing supernatural things, which I knew, as anticipated, this was what I was experiencing. As incredible as this was, joy and peace seemed so far from me. I was unable to celebrate what we were seeing because the culture and way of life in India was so different to what I was used to. It was such a contrast that I was clearly not happy, and really all I wanted to do was to go back home to the Shire in New Zealand. One of the days we had time off in the morning, and really I'm struggling. I'm a young man. This is my second ministry trip, and I'm just struggling with everything about the climate. And so one day we go for a walk, and I'm just looking around, and I see in the distance what looks like a kebab stand. I like kebabs. Anyone like kebabs? And so I walk, it's like this mirage. I'm like, suddenly joy starts coming inside of me as I can connect with something right here. And I'm walking up to this kebab stand, and as I get closer, suddenly the mirage turns into a leg of goat or lamb hanging in the distance. And on this goat or lamb is so many blowflies, you can't see the meat. And the butcher, it's a butcher's shop, he's cutting off the meat, and there's a line of people and they're coming to get the meat. I had to turn away as in to not to make a scene. And in this moment, I'm saying, Father, why in the world did you bring me to this place? First, the airport scene, the driving, the cockroaches, the bells, the smells, these people, frustrated and judgmental. I was in this moment where the light of the gospel was not shining through me. Are you with me today? I said to him, Father, how do I deal with this? I said, you've brought me here to help bring your message of hope to these people. How is this possible when I'm frustrated, unhappy, and really all I want to do is go back home to New Zealand? At that moment, the Holy Spirit stopped me. So he stopped me. He said to me this. He said, son, the reason why you're sad, frustrated, and judgmental is because you're not living sustained by my kingdom. What do you mean? I thought, what do you mean? He said to me, son, I have created a kingdom on this earth to ensure my children can thrive in the middle of a fallen world, to be salt and light. He said, look around you, Michael. No matter where you go, there is pain and suffering and injustice. Since the fall of man in the garden, it has been like this. Mankind has constantly struggled with the Adamic nature they were born with. Lucifer, the god of this world, controls men like a puppeteer. He said, my son Jesus came to deliver men from this control and give them the opportunity to be free from this fallen world. Hallelujah. Walking back to the house, I could not stop thinking about what the Holy Spirit was speaking. Live in the kingdom. Live in the kingdom. Live in the kingdom. Live in the kingdom. The reason why you're not happy is because you're not living in the kingdom. It made sense, but I needed more understanding. So back in my bedroom, I began to look up every time in the Bible the word kingdom is spoken. The first passage that stood out to me was where Jesus was speaking to the Pharisees, and he answers them their question of when the kingdom of God should come. His response to them was the beginning of a new revelation of the kingdom that impacted me and still impacts me today. As we read in Luke 17 and verse 20. And it says, and when he was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, he answered them. Listen, when he was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, he answered them and said, the kingdom of God does not come with observation. Neither shall they say, lo here or lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you. Say, the kingdom of God is within me. The kingdom of God is within me. Wow, that's incredible. These words were spoken by Jesus at a time in history when the reach of the Roman Empire covered most of the known world around us. Jesus knew What the Pharisees were asking him was influenced by their understanding of what they had grown up around. Their view of a kingdom was based upon the dominating reach and grandeur of the Roman Empire. For centuries, it had been foretold of a new king and kingdom for the Jewish people, but Jesus had a different vision. And like an artist using words that paint such a profound picture, in essence, he says to them, the kingdom does not come with observation. It's not made of bricks and mortar. It's not over here. It's not over there. It has far greater reach than the limitations of time, space, and matter. Why? Because the kingdom of God is within you. Stop and think about that for just a moment. The kingdom is in you. Say, it's in me. Many years later, Natasha and I had the privilege of ministering in Greece, and we discovered that this passage of scripture in Luke actually had two meanings. The first meaning was, the kingdom is around you. The second was, the kingdom is within you. We were grateful for our guide and friend for giving us understanding on this while enjoying a rest day sightseeing in the ancient city of Philippi where the apostle planted that first European church. Natasha asked our dear Greek friend, Pastor Demetrius, is the kingdom around or is it in? He said this, both. Pastor Demetrius explained that at the time Jesus said these words, he was walking in the earth. The kingdom was around him, flowing through him. It was touching the world. Every person he came in contact with experienced some form of the kingdom as it moved through him. But when answering the Pharisees, the kingdom is within, listen, Jesus was foretelling of the time when he would physically leave this earth, then the kingdom would live inside all those who would receive him as Lord and Savior. The culmination of the statement was fulfilled on the day of Pentecost when the disciples were filled with the Spirit of God. After centuries of being separated from his original dwelling place, the breath of God was restored to the man he created. This is a significant piece in the kingdom puzzle because, as I would discover, the Holy Spirit is the driving force of the kingdom. Incredibly, we are its carrier. Say, the Holy Spirit is the driving force of the kingdom of God. We are its carriers. Continuing my research in India, the next scripture that stood out was in Romans 14 and verse 16. Romans 14 and verse 16. It says, for the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but it is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Hearing this was a huge help to me because in my struggle, I needed solace. I discovered the kingdom within me, say the kingdom within me. I discovered that the kingdom within me had its own atmosphere. Come on. This atmosphere would enable me to have joy and peace in the middle of cultures and climates that was foreign to what I was used to. Something I was visually struggling with in India. This was a game changer. And I believe today this can be a game changer for all of us. We're living in a moment in history where quite clearly you never know what's going to happen next. Whether it's a war, whether it's a famine, whether it's an earthquake, whether it's something gets stolen, whether it's a fire. We just never know what's going to happen next in the world around us. That's why, as the body of Christ, we've got to understand the kingdom and we've got to understand its atmosphere and we've got to understand the driving force of that kingdom and we've got to understand who we are in relationship to it. Are you all with me today? Because we're living in the greatest times in history. But they're going to be the worst of times and the best of times. And what determines whether they're the best of times or not is whether we understand who we are and where his kingdom is in our lives. Because in the midst of the darkness, God wants to shine through you. So that when your mates at school are all freaking out, you're not freaking out because why? Peace and joy lives inside of your life. Are you with me today? Are you with me today? Amen. So this was a game changer for me. I remember when I read this passage and chose to believe it in my heart. Listen, joy in India, joy and peace began to flow through me. As I surrendered to the Holy Spirit and asked Him for help, a fountain of love for the people and the culture I was struggling to connect with was unlocked. Suddenly, all the things that were frustrating before did not matter anymore. The light and the love of God began to shine through me, bringing the opportunity for salvation and healing to many in India. Since that first trip, I've been to India many, many times. We have done concerts through most of the major cities in India. Hundreds and thousands of people have been at the concerts and they have heard the gospel. I love India with a passion. But that was not the case in the beginning because I was struggling to deal with the difference in culture. Jesus said this in Matthew 6, verse 33. Jesus said this in Matthew 6. Everyone say a kingdom within. Shout out, say a kingdom within. He says, Matthew 6, 19, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. If your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. No one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or else be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. One of the greatest tricks of the enemy is to try to tell the body of Christ that you cannot trust God with your life. One of the greatest tricks of the enemy is that we get our lives focused on the mammon instead of the giver of the mammon. One of the greatest tricks of the enemy is try to stop you and I from fulfilling the purpose of God because we do not know how in the world will we live. How will my kids survive? How will my life be? How is it going to be with me if I give my life to serve the Lord? That's why Jesus came to bring a kingdom in our lives. That's why there's a kingdom within. And that's why it's important that there's so many of us as believers, you either hate the one or love the other. Be loyal to the one or despise the other. And for many of us, we come to church on Sunday and we love the music. We love what we see. We love the potential possibilities. But to actually step over into that other world is difficult for us. But in America, there's coming a time where you're not going to have a choice, really. Well, you will have a choice. It's either one or the other. And it's becoming clearer and clearer and clearer who we will serve. Either God or mammon. And Lucifer is always there at the top of our lives, playing his little game, playing with our minds, playing with our hearts to try to keep us from truly believing these words in our lives today. This book is full of stories. This is just an introduction. This book has so many stories. Young people, get this book. Get the hold of this book and read it for your life. It goes all the way back to when I was a kid and how I learned the highs, the lows, the struggles, the good, the bad, the mistakes, all the above. This book will encourage you because God has a purpose for all of us here today. But we cannot live it unless we're living sustained by the King and His kingdom. No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore, I say unto you, don't worry about your life. Listen, family, listen. Therefore, don't worry about your life, what you will eat, what you will drink. Am I ever going to be able to go to Chick-fil-A again? Listen, people. Therefore, don't worry about your life, what you will eat, what you will drink, what your body, what you'll put on. Is not life more than food? And the body more than clothing? Look, this is the ecosystem part. This is this ecosystem. Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you of not more value than they? Are we not of more value than a flock of birds? Therefore, verse 31, therefore, don't worry about a thing, because don't worry about a thing, because every little thing is gonna, yeah. It's in the Word. The Bible says, therefore, don't worry, saying, what shall we eat, what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows you need these things. But, everyone say, but, listen, this is the big one right now. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. What things? Wherever you need to eat, whatever you need to sleep on, whatever you need to drive in, wherever you need to go, the clothing, everything that you and I need for life and godliness is found in the kingdom without any strings attached, people, without no sorrow, without no shame, without no little puppet strings on the top to where you have to jump and have to jump through hoops and all that. God loves you. God loves us. We are His children, and He has everything we need to fulfill His purpose. Get involved, family. Give our lives, surrender to Him. I'll never forget the time when I was, well, many, many, many years ago, when the Lord spoke to me after a season of seeking the Lord in my early 20s, the Holy Spirit speaks to my heart. He says, I want you to put a band together. I want you to record an album, and I want you to begin traveling all over the globe, bringing the message of Jesus through music. I didn't have a band, didn't know how to record an album, had no money to go anywhere, and I had no doors open. So I go to my pastor, who's my father. I said, Dad, this is what the Holy Spirit is speaking to me. He says to me, son, just begin to take small steps and watch what He will do. So I begin to take small steps, and within 6 months, I had written and recorded an album. I had paid $30,000 cash for this album. And the first country that opens up to go to was a nation called South Africa. Has anyone heard of South Africa? Has anyone heard of South Africa? And as I'm flying over the Indian Ocean, suddenly I look at our itinerary. And as I'm looking at itinerary, I've got 8 people in my band. I'm looking at my schedule, and it dawns on me, I've only got 2 events booked, and I'm supposed to be in South Africa for 3 months. What am I going to do with these 8 people? But I knew the Father had a plan. His ways are higher than our ways. His ways are so much higher. It's deeper. Can you imagine an eye doctor seeing Jesus taking that mud and slapping on the guy, squishing it in his eyes, and then suddenly he goes and washes in the pool of Siloam. He comes out whole. An eye doctor's thinking, you're a nut job, you need to be stuck in prison for the rest of your life. His ways are higher than ours. His ways are higher. So I'm in Africa. After the second concert, the presence of God was so strong, word starts to get out, and our whole 3-month tour was booked. At the same time, somebody in New Zealand had sent my album to the Christian radio stations. Songs began to be number 1 and 2 hits all over the country. That opened the door for us the next year to tour all throughout New Zealand. Then at the end of that year, there was a World Radio Broadcasting Conference in Auckland, and I was asked to be the guest artist. So I get out after my half an hour set, people from all over, radio stations from Europe, all over the UK, come to me wanting to play my music. That was one of the connections that opened the door for us to get into Europe, the United kingdom, I didn't have to manipulate. I didn't have to maneuver. I didn't have to play my cards right. I didn't have to take a little snap with the cutest look I could find. I didn't have to change me. I didn't have to change me in order to maneuver to get to where God wanted me to go. God made a way for me, and that same God will make a way for you. No matter what you and I are called to do, He will make a way, and you'll end up like me, a crazy little hobbit from New Zealand running all over the world that cannot keep himself together because he's so excited about Jesus. So then as time goes on, now we're doing this for many years, and then as time goes on, suddenly I met a girl. I didn't know, as I'm just simply obeying the Lord, I'm now mid-20s, moving forward, and I'm looking around, there's no girl, there's a lot of girls, but there is not the girl. Are you with me right now? And so I'm like, Father, what am I going to do? Well, I get invited at the right time. Say, at the right time, God has the right person. Right? You don't have to be the cool dude. You don't have to be the slick. You don't have to be a little sly and have the little woo thing going on. Just obey the Holy Spirit, all right? Best thing, obey the Lord, right? So anyways, I get invited to speak, to do worship. My band and I are touring throughout America, and we get invited to a Russian-speaking church in Sacramento. To cut a long story short, my translator was a girl called Natasha. 1.5 years later, I asked her to marry me on top of the Eiffel Tower in Paris. And she said, yes. Suddenly then, we've got kids on the way. What do you do when you're on the road, traveling 8 months of the year, between 10 and 20 countries, in and out of planes, trains, and automobiles? What do you do with kids? Well, my wife is going to come and just share just a little bit of how God not only spoke to her heart and helped to groom her and fashion her and to prepare her for this life on the road, but also what He spoke to her about having kids and how the Lord has now been with us all these years. Josh has just turned 17, been on the road with us ever since he was a baby. And Zach is now 14. Would you give my lovely wife a big hand, everybody? Thank you.
Hello, I'm Natasha. One of the things that the Lord spoke to me pretty much in the beginning of traveling is in Ephesians 4:7. It says, but to each one of us was given according to a measure of Christ's grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. So I've always felt like I had a grace to travel, and which was funny. I thought everyone loved traveling until we started to, and people were feeling sorry for me. They're like, you poor thing, it must be really tough. And as I said, as the Lord gave me that scripture, I could understand it's just that grace was on our lives. So fast forward to having kids, Josh arrives and we're like, Lord, what do you want us to do? Do you still want us to continue doing what we're doing, or do you want us to stop? How's this going to look with a child? So Josh was about 5 months, and we took our first trip to Europe. So we were flying from California to Germany. It's a 9-hour time zone difference, and even for adults, it's hard to change. So Josh took about 4 days to switch to a time zone in Germany. We were there for a month, and then when we flew back, it took him a day to switch back. And it's like the Lord was saying, that's okay, I got you. And so that's how it's been for us and both Josh and Zach. So He really spoke to us that the same grace that's on our lives is on theirs as well. And so still now, if they spend too much time in the U.S., they're like, when are we getting on the plane? You know. So, but one of the stories I wanted to share, actually, when Josh was just turned one and we were ministering and traveling through Europe, I was looking for a first pair of shoes for him. And at that time, our budget was like $40, but I wanted a good pair of shoes, and it was 25 euro because the euro was much higher at that time. So we're looking, and we're traveling through Germany. I cannot find anything. We're traveling through France. We're in the south of France, and I mean, things are getting more and more expensive. And our next stop is a country of Monaco. I don't know if anybody heard heard of Monaco, Monte Carlo. That is not a place where you look for your child's first pair of shoes with that budget. So here I was. I was like, okay, I'll stop for now. And that nobody but us knew about it, you know. And the lady who's hosting us comes up and she says, you know, the Lord really put it on my heart to buy your son his first pair of shoes. And I'm like, oh, I mean, you know, you kind of get stumped and you're like, oh, you don't have to. She says, no, the Lord really put it on my heart to do that. She says, I have a granddaughter that I shop for in this one of these boutiques. Now, the word boutique does not sound cheap, you know. So I'm like, we walk in there and I'm trying not to look anywhere, but there's nothing there that's within our budget. So here we are. She picks out and she's like, she goes, these would be perfect. And so bottom line is, here's Josh's first pair of shoes. Both Josh and Zach wore them. They look like something Prince George wears. And they were 85 euro at that time with exchange rate $120. Now, it's not about a price, but it's about the fact that in our own strength, that's what the Lord really spoke to me, in our own strength, we can only provide in our $40. But what God wanted to bless him with was above and beyond, you know, that what we could personally provide. And that's what was, you know, the Lord spoke to me, is that in as we follow him, as we obey him, and as we live the life that he has called us for, you know, he provides and he blesses above and beyond that what we could ever ask for.
Let's all stand together. Let's all stand together. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost. Oh, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, oh, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. As every eye is shut and every head is bowed today, there really is a kingdom within a kingdom in this world. There's the kingdom of darkness and there's the kingdom of light. And Jesus, when he came out of the wilderness, those 40 days, the first words he spoke were, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. As we begin to read on in the scripture, we move forward and we discover that actually Jesus came to make way for a new kingdom. The good news of the gospel was spoken at a time when the Roman Empire and its dominating satanic enslavement controlled the planet. There was no good news. But the good news that Jesus brought was about another kingdom and the ability for all humanity to come and be sustained by that kingdom, so that even in this other kingdom, living and breathing, we would be free, because the kingdom that he brought would live in us. And in the midst of circumstances of a fallen planet, we would know what it means to be free. And that freedom would be a light to others. Jesus is the way, Jesus is the truth. Jesus is the life. Jesus is access to this kingdom and relationship with our Heavenly Father. As every eye is shut and every head is bowed today, if you're here today, and I'm speaking to people who are saved, I'm speaking to people right now, this first prayer is for people who have been walking with the Lord, who know Jesus, who have invited Him into their heart. But the Spirit of the Lord is calling for all of us to reset our focus again. The Spirit of the Lord is calling for His body to reset our minds into His kingdom. Because there's a battle. There's a war that is raging around us. For which kingdom we're going to be sustained by. And the lines can get blurred very, very subtly. The lines can be blurred as to which kingdom we're sustained by. But today, He's asking the question. If you're here today and you would say, I want to live sustained by the kingdom of God that He's created for me. If you're here today and you would say, I want to live my life sustained by His kingdom that lives in me. In a moment, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand. And in raising your hand, you are declaring to yourself, to heaven, to your family, to the spirit that's in this age, that I'm going to do my best from this day on to live with the understanding of His kingdom and to live my life sustained by this kingdom, not the kingdom of the world. If that's you today, you'd say, I want to live my life in the kingdom of God and sustained by His purposes, His plan, His power, His provision, His protection. If that's you, just lift your hand straight up in the air. Amen. Now come out of your seat and stand with me right now. Get out of your seat and stand here with me right now. This is an activation. It's a moment where we say in our lives, Father, we are activating this word, activating your truth. I'm activating it in my life. From this moment on, I declare I will live sustained by the King in this kingdom. Hallelujah.